necklace hanging over your head. It's when a sword, which is tied into a thin rope, is hanging over our head, it could fall at any moment. Is it like that, or?
Yes, no, not quite, not quite. There's a little bit different mood. And the mood is, I am going to die living, not die dying.
Yeah, the thought of our own mortality evokes a serious mood, and some come in the fighter mood. Now I give my best. I'm going to die living. My father says like this also. He's 96 years of age, and he is really. I mean, it could happen every week, the death. Mm-hmm. And he said, I live every day. No, one day we all have to die, but until that, I live every day. That's his motto. Yes.
And is your mother still living?
Mother is also living. And
how old is she?
She is 93 years of
age. Okay, so now very quickly, because we are getting close to starting, the best way of predicting how old you will live is to average the two parents' age plus add 5 years. So as a result of that the prediction would be that you could live to over 100. Yes, that is the best prediction.
Wow. Average both
average parents. Average of parents' death, age of death, plus add 5 years.
Acha. This is something
you are going to live a long life, Maharaj.
Thank you. This is something tried, tested, and proved, Gopabhatta.
Tried and tested.
Yeah. Good.
But now, Maharaj, we are less than 1 minute from starting, so we should get prepared. You look beautiful. Yes, you do. And enthusiastic as ever, so fine. We have the 6 points that we're going to be covered. Largely, I'm not going to be talking much, but I will introduce you, and then I'll ask some questions, and we'll keep the thing flowing. We like to be about 40 minutes, maybe 45 minutes. We have seen people start to drop off after about 45 minutes. So we're ready to go. Shyamasaki, how close are we?
So yeah, we have like 5 seconds. So I will pull all of you off the screen now, and then I'll play an intro video for 5 seconds, and then bring you all back.
And then Maharaj, when we end, stay online when we end, so that you and I can just exchange, and I can find out if I satisfied you.
Okay. All the best. Haribo.
Hey, Haribo.
जय जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य भूल चंद्र जयाद्वैत चंद्र जय जय नित्यानंद जय जय गदाधर जय श्रीनिवास जय मुकुंद वासुदेव जय हरिदास
Sachinandan Swami, please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Gopabhatta Prabhu, you are dear to the hearts of the international Vaishnav community. May you also accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Prabhupada.
Glories to Srila Prabhupada. So, Maharaj, as you know, you're joining us and helping us lead this effort to celebrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. We've had over 40 speakers so far, all leaders such as you that are steeped in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So we're feeling very, very happy that you've joined us. You're a famous devotee, actually. You don't need much of an introduction. Yet at the same time, you know, you do so much to serve the devotional community, japa workshops, extending yourself for association. You're also a very innovative preacher and stay active in that. But because part of our talk today, you're going to be speaking near the end about chanting, I wanted to just tell you a personal story. In the 70s and 80s, I had never met you and actually didn't know much about you. And going back to Vrindavan in the years 2000 to 2006, every Christmas holiday, I would go to Vrindavan just to concentrate on improving my japa. And you gave me a very, very wonderful lesson. Even though I did not know who you were by name or anything, and you didn't meet me, I went to Srila Prabhupada's headquarters. This was either in 2002 or 3. And you were sitting in the corner chanting. And I came into Srila Prabhupada's headquarters to chant. And quite quickly, I noticed you. And even though normally I kind of stay focused on my japa, I actually started to study you. And I did it in such a way that I didn't wish to interrupt you or anything. I saw you totally focused and energized in your chanting, and I took that as enthusiasm. And I saw you very serious, but at the same time, happy and joyful. And out of that, I saw a yearning. And in this way, for about an hour, you gave me a lesson on japa. And I was very, very grateful. And when I left, I offered my obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, but I offered my obeisances to you too. So I wanted to tell you that story as a way of introduction to our audience, that you help people even if you don't know it sometimes. Okay. So there you have it. Let us begin our time together. It's really wonderful to see you after, what, 4 or 5, maybe even 6 years or so, the last time. Reminds me of Sri Ishopanishad, where we're very far away, yet we're very near as well right now. So yes, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda, maybe you can just start with their identities and who are they and give us a brief introduction.
The Lord is a merciful Lord. He is a kind Lord. He is a loving Lord. And he has studied our situation in Kali Yuga and seen that we are unfortunate, we are short-lived, we are disturbed. We need extra mercy on our own steam, as they say in America, one's own strengths. We are quite helpless. So he came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, accompanied with his brother. And they came on a special mission, and that is, I think, very solacing for our hearts. They came on a mission to give unconditional mercy. In this world, we only know when we are good, when we fulfill conditions, then we can expect the mercy. But God's mercy is unconditional. He already loves us, maybe like a parent loves their children, but even more. Narottam Das Thakur, to just answer in brief, he says very nicely, Brajendranandana se Sachi Sutta Hoila se Balaram Hoilo Nitai. The son of the king of Braj has become the son of Sachi Devi, and Balaram has become Nityananda. Now he says what they do, how they give their mercy. Through Harinam, Harinam, they have delivered all those who were fallen and wretched. Then he gives an example. Jagai and Madai are testaments to this fact.
What would you then say is the divine mission of Gaur Nitai?
The divine mission is twofold. We hear in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had an internal reason why he came, and an external reason. The internal reason is that Krishna was curious. He had this curiosity, how do my devotees see me? All of you who listen, don't you sometimes have the urge in you, how do actually others see me? Maybe go for butter. What do others think when I do my service? Do they see my intention? Or do they maybe just see my way, how I do things? So Krishna had this deep, deep, deep desire from which our desires come, to see himself through the eyes of his devotees, especially the eyes of his dearest devotee, his closest devotee, Srimati Radharani. He thought, what qualities does Radha see in me? What does she really feel that makes her so much my devotee? And then what happens to her when I reciprocate her own feelings of devotion? And what happens in that exchange? So that was, to find that out, he took on the form of the greatest of devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he took Balaram along with him. That is the internal reason. The second reason, and that's where the Lord does multitasking, if you so want, is in relationship to us, his creatures, his living entities. He wanted to give them mercy. And I will just tell Yoga Parvata Prabhu and all of our audience a very beautiful, enchanting little story which is told in Vrindavan. I found it in Shivaram Maharaj's wonderful books. Once Mother Yashoda saw Srimati Radharani. Radha comes every morning and cooks for Krishna. So she thought in her mind, this girl, Srimati Radha, this Radha, would make such a good wife for my little boy Krishna. And feeling this great appreciation, she did something. She just went to the kitchen, got some haldi, this kumkum, and rubbed it on the hands of, on the palms of Radha. Now, in Vrindavan, this means that this girl is to become the wife of the elderly lady's mother, the elderly lady's son. So Radha had all this yellow on her hands, and she was very young, and she thought, what will people say? I mean, I'm so young, and it was a spontaneous act by Mother Yashoda out of the fullness of her heart. she felt a little ashamed. And when she went out of the palace in Nandagram to return to where she was in Varshana, her girlfriend saw the yellow hands and started to giggle and laugh like girls are bound to do. So Srimati Radhika on the way was very pleased inside but very ashamed outside. And on her way back to Varshana, she saw a little pond, and that was her opportunity. She kneeled down on the pond, she washed it, washed her hands in the pond, and the yellow haldi began to spread all over the pond, coloring it in a yellowish complexion. And then she went with clean hands, which would not invoke any thought of she married or what, or she promised, back to Varshana. Now Krishna came by this pond a little later. Radha was already gone, and he saw that this pond, which had before a bluish color, was now covered in black, in yellow. And he became very curious. What has happened to this pond? And in his curiosity and playfulness, he went into the pond, and all of a sudden felt a shivering, a tremble, because remember, we are talking about the spiritual world. Everything is conscious there. So when he touched the yellowish color, the yellowish haldi, he touched the love of Radharani. He took his bath, totally immersed himself, and when he came out, he was covered with the yellow haldi, with the yellow complexion. He ran through the forest and began chanting, Krishna, Krishna, being fully covered with the mood of Srimati Radharani. And this is a Leela perspective on Lord Chaitanya, a pastime perspective of Lord Chaitanya, which is told. I thought it is very nice because it veers this refreshing, loving breeze of Vrindavan.
Wonderful, Maharaj. Is that lake still celebrated?
Yes, it is now known as Pilu Pukur. Pilu means yellow, the yellow pond. You can see it, and I very much recommend it for those who go on pilgrimage. If you come to Varshana town, you will walk for another 7 minutes across the channel to your right side, that means away from Varshana, and there it is, covered with banyan trees, very peaceful, no one will disturb you, and you can sit and chant and think about Lord Chaitanya being the Lord Krishna, covered in an ecstatic, loving mood, which he is ready to give you.
So, wonderful story. Is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, has he ever like made any promise or has he made any statement that he will deliver us to Radha and Krishna?
Yeah. This Gopa Bhatta Prabhu, this question is a very important question for those who are serious to practice Krishna consciousness. It is a question which comes up a lot in the Indian philosophy. Where will I go after this one life if I have performed such and such sadhana? The followers of Ram want to know, where will I go? Where will this bring me? The followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will want to know, because they know, and this is different from the materialistic perspective, that this life is only a spot life. It is very brief. In the beginning, when we were both backstage, we had touched this subject. You had asked how old my parents are, and I told you they are just before. My father's 96, this is very old, and we had spoken about what we experience as we become older. Death is there, and death is coming more quicker than we thought. This is a very brief moment in eternity which we spend. We call it life, and we put so much energy in on it. But the scriptures, they asked the question, where will I go when I do this spiritual sadhana? That's my real orientation. What I become, what can I become, what are my opportunities? So the devotees of Lord Chaitanya treasure a particular statement where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally spoke about the destiny of his followers. It is recorded in a work by Kavikarnapur. The work is called Sri Chaitanya Chandrodaya Natakam. Here we find that Advaita Acharya is addressing Lord Chaitanya towards the end of his pastimes. My dear Lord, you have revealed the most confidential pastimes of Lord Krishna, and you have crushed the influence of the age of Kali. You have also described the meaning of pure devotional service in love of Krishna, and so on. But now I have a question to you. Lord Chaitanya was moved. He said, ask your question and tell me how I can satisfy your question. And then Advaita said, I have this one request. I want to know in my next life, will I be able to have the association of you and your devotees? This is all I care. I don't wish material piety, economic development is of no meaning for me. And I think sense gratification is very insignificant and worthless. But this association of your devotees and you, this has become all I care. So will that be available to me in my next life? And then Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave a declaration. And please listen very carefully, as it will make your heart very happy and full of divine anticipation. He said, I will personally go back to Vrindavan. And there I will be, and I will accept all of you in my sweet pastimes in Vrindavan and fill your hearts with bliss. To you who have faith in Vrindavan, I will give spiritual forms, just like mine. That is what I will do for you. And then the text continues. It describes that to those whose heart are bound to Chaitanya, who is his worshippers, it does not really matter in what rasa they relate to Krishna. Are they in a neutral? Are they like friends, for instance, or do they feel like parents feel for their son, or like servants to their master, or like lovers to their beloved? It does not matter. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will make them into his eternally liberated associates in whatever rasa they are meant to be in Goloka Vrindavan. And Gopal Bhatta Prabhu and all of you who listen to this, please think about it. To be a devotee in Kali Yuga means to stream, to swim against the stream. We follow four rules and regulations. We rise early, and if we don't rise early, we feel bad. I should rise early. If we are sometimes not very good, it doesn't make us happy. We want to be our best version in the service. So this means we stream against the we go against the stream of contemporary materialistic civilization. Everyone has to face difficulties on their path. But Lord Chaitanya sees all this and he says, no matter who you are in spiritually, in your rasa, I will take you and bring you to Vrindavan. Isn't that nice?
Please give us the name of that book again.
Yeah, it is called Chaitanya Chandradaya, like Mayapur Chandradaya, Chaitanya Chandradaya Natakam. And you will find it in the end of the 10th chapter. In fact, I have written it down here because it's so important. It's in the 10th chapter, verse 280. Mm. It's very nice because we all need some hope. We need some divine promise to continue giving our best in the service of Srila Prabhupada.
Mm, wonderful, wonderful. Tell us about the Nityananda, and how does Nityananda Prabhu is part of this Gaur Nitai and helping us to approach Radha and Krishna. Tell us about that.
Yeah. My dear Gopal Bhatta Prabhu and everyone, Lord Chaitanya is known as the hidden avatar, Chana avatar. Lord Nityananda is even a little bit more hidden. So we can approach him through the light which the Shastras throw on him. And there is a beautiful narration in the Chaitanya Charitamrita done by the author himself. And he is shy to speak about it, but then he nevertheless breaks through his own hesitancy and says, my dear listeners, I will tell you now about the mercy of Lord Nityananda. I am well prepared for this. he says, the ocean of Lord Nityananda's glories is infinite and unfathomable. Only by his mercy can I even touch a drop of it. So it's he will tell something quite difficult. And he says, by Lord Nityananda's empowerment, an ordinary living entity can climb to extraordinary heights. And he gives himself as an example. He says that when he lived in Bengal, Gaudadesh, his family was very pious, but they only had faith in Lord Chaitanya, not in Lord Nityananda. So one day there was a great conflict in his family. A great devotee of Lord Nityananda, who had been invited for a kirtan festival, non-stop kirtan, Minikirtan Maramdas, had given love of God freely to everyone. In a playful mood, he had sometimes climbed on the shoulders of the devotee. He had cried. It was what we say in ISKCON, a really wild kirtan. we say like this. The priest, Gunanava Mishra, had seen it, and he had thought, oh, it's a little bit too much. And anyways, he's a devotee of Nityananda, and Nityananda is a transcendental madman. And he did not show respect to Minikatam. And Minikatam, not that he wanted respect for himself, no Vaishnava wants that, but he saw the priest was not showing him respect because he disrespected Nityananda. And so was the elder brother. So Krishnadas Kaviraj remembered how Minikatam had left the house after seeing that both the older brother of Krishnadas Kaviraj and the priest were not respecting Lord Nityananda. He had taken his flute and broken it. Whoa, that's an emotional act of displeasure. And so he thought the whole night, what will now become out of our family? We have made a Vaishnava apparat against a dear devotee of the Lord. So that night, Lord Nityananda appeared to him. He said, Uta, Uta, rise up, Krishnadas. Don't worry a bit. No problem. And he had seen Lord Nityananda as he was swaying back and forth, singing Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. His effulgence was like thousands of moons, very bright. And Lord Nityananda had told him, Krishnadas, leave and go to Vrindavan, because there you will get all desirable things. So next morning, the text says, Ekshana, not waiting even for 1 second, Krishnadas left and went to Vrindavan. If you want to be empowered, some detachment is required. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, the empowered writer of Chaitanya Charitamrita, is showing this detachment from his own plans. Gopa Bhatta Prabhu kindly asked me, how are you doing in this lockdown situation? And I said, yeah, Krishna has closed one door, but he has opened 3 other doors. But if you are attached to your own plan, you only see that one door is closed. You don't see the 3 other doors which have opened wide for you. So Krishnadas, he went to Vrindavan. And it's quite amazing what happened. He only had the desire, what can I do in service now? I'm free to render devotional service. He then met the devotees of the Lord. They were in the second generation after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these devotees were talking about the Lord's pastimes. But at that time, there was only what we know as Chaitanya Bhagavat available. There was the work of Vrindavan Das Thakur, which was known at the time as Chaitanya Mangala. Now it's Chaitanya Bhagavat. It's known like this to avoid a confusion with another Chaitanya Mangala. This book only describes the early pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, not what Lord Chaitanya did after sannyas, when he took sannyas and traveled to South India, he stayed in Puri and so on. And the devotees in Vrindavan were discussing this over and over again, and they are called Ugrashrava. it means voracious hearers. In the Western civilization, we know voracious eaters, but they were voracious hearers. They wanted to hear more and more. So when they saw Krishnadas Kaviraj entering the Govindadev Mandir, that was the central Mandir at that time where everyone was, so to say, all these great devotees, some of them had even seen Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, others were disciples of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates, they saw him and they said to him, he could write the second book on Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, this Chaitanya Charitamrita. And they asked him to do it. And, and he felt very pleased, but he said, I'm so insignificant and I'm a mook, I'm a fool. He needed another confirmation. So he went to the Madan Mohan temple, and when he prayed, a garland of Madan Mohan fell, and that was put around him as a sign of empowerment. But the original empowerment from which everything started was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And, it was Nityananda Prabhu. That was the original, let us say, impetus, the original cause of him leaving his life in Bengal and becoming an instrument. And so he says, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, you can find it in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, I don't know how I am writing. I'm very old, my body trembles, my mind cannot remember, it's very unsteady. Do you know that he wrote about 800 Shastric verses, remembering 800 Shastric verses in his book? But still I'm writing, and I can only say I'm like a wooden doll who is dancing by the power of, he used the word magician, of Nityananda. It's, we know people who have, who control puppets who are on a string, right? But there are magicians, they do something and then a wooden doll starts to dance. So that is the analogy which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami gives. And here, I think, is the miracle of Lord Nityananda. He empowers devotees. But for that, again, I need to say three things are important. If you wish to be empowered by Lord Nityananda, or for that matter by Chaitanya, or just empowered by the Lord, you know, we can make it also simple if we are simple people. Three things. You have to be a little detached from your own plan. You have to, so that you see the Lord's plan, you have to have a desire to serve, like Krishnadas, who came to Vrindavan, Krishnadas Kaviraj. And you will also need the company of good devotees, because God speaks in this world through the mouth of his devotees. We have all seen that in the case of Srila Prabhupada. And those of you on the call who are together, who are servants of disciples of Srila Prabhupada, you have also seen it. When you don't really know what is the plan, or what should I do, or what, you need this outside information where the Lord speaks through the mouth of his devotee. And you will feel, you will know it immediately when you hear it. Yes, yes, right, correct, this I should do. So this is Lord Nityananda. If you ask me what role he plays in the Chaitanya Leela and the overall plan, it is definitely to empower devotees. You can read this amazing story in the Adi Leela. I see our Syamasaki is writing very nice banners. In the Adi Leela, please note it down, chapter 5 of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Septa, I'm a little, I got up very early this morning. I'm sorry, I'm a little scattered brain. So Adi Lila chapter 5, and then starting with verse 158. There you can read the amazing story of Lord Nityananda's mercy.
Wow, wonderful Maharaj. The Lord and his name are the same. So what role does chanting have in this approaching Lord Chaitanya and being given mercy to approach Radha and Krishna?
First of all, this well-known statement in our movement needs to be a little unpacked. The Lord and his name are the same. It is something which our material mind has difficulty to fathom. How can a name be identical with a person? I mean, a person has attributes like it can speak, a person speaks to you, a person thinks, a person reciprocates with you. There are many personal attributes, and we think, how can a name be identical with a person? That would mean the name would have these personal attributes as well. Let us acknowledge that it is difficult for us to fathom. Yes, we have heard it. We know that's in the books, and we know that our movement is strongly believing it. But to make it a little bit more a realized, experienced statement, I really suggest that all of us step back a little bit and look at this statement. The Lord and is the same as his divine name. My dear listeners, Gopa Bhatta Prabhu is my older brother. He knows better than me, but I'm addressing the listeners now. One thing which is very important when you want to understand anything of Krishna consciousness is that you cannot understand it with this brain. With this brain, you have to hear it from Shastras, and you have to hear it from a realized soul like Srila Prabhupada. And you have to see examples of other persons who follow, who have experienced this. The name, I will try to now explain it very briefly. Please excuse me, but this is the subject which, this is the only thing which I'm really focusing and it's to understand. You have arisen a professor from sleep, so he wants to talk now on this subject. The best way to understand it is by means of the transference theory. What is that? If you put a thing of iron, let us use this cartels, into fire, then in contact with the fire, the iron, so to say, stops to be ordinary iron. It becomes fireized, if you so want, and you, theoretically it is now, not theoretically, practically it is now fire. You can ignite a fire from it. Put it into straw, and you will see a huge conflagration will develop. In the same way, the name of God, the name of the Lord, the holy name, is the name of Krishna. They are intrinsically connected. Very, and the power of the Lord has pervaded it, and the personality of the Lord has pervaded it. So now it's no longer ordinary syllables, K-R-S-N-A, Krishna, no. But there is, it's personalized syllables, fireized syllables, Ishwarized syllables. Ishwara is the name of the Lord. And it will act like this, provided you as the chanter create the ideal or as much as a possible ideal situation. When this iron comes into wet straw, I don't know if the fireized iron, the iron which is no longer iron but has become fire, comes into wet straw. Well, I have not studied this, but it will take a long, long time, and there will be not such a big conflagration. So if you want the chanting of the holy name to totally work in you, you have to learn to chant it properly with body, mind, and heart in full alignment. Prabhupada used to always say to devotees who were chanting in his association, sit properly, so that is aligning the body. And he used to give instruction, we must pronounce the mantra very clearly and listen to it. These are physical activities. The body must be aligned, then the mind, then the heart. It's a subject matter which I request all those who are on this call to explore. When the chanting is not working for you in the way it is described, it is often so that there is something that you have maybe overlooked in your practice, and that influences you negatively. But if you can chant with absorption and with some amount of purity, it works really fast, and you will then see by your experience how Krishna and the name is not different. My dear devotees, to close this part of the question, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit long-winded, but the nature...
No, it's fine. No,
good. Devotees have experienced, especially in kirtan, when a big number of devotees chant. That's why the Mayapur Kirtan Mela is such a good program, or His Holiness Indra Dumna Maharaj's program in the States, Sadhu Sangha, where there is a big facility for devotees to chant. They have seen amazing results. In their chanting, they have started to think of Krishna, they have looked at the deities and seen and felt how the deities reciprocated with their devotional attitudes. They have seen how the holy name seems to take a life on his own. That means in their dreams the chanting is continuing, and then all of a sudden, as if a match has been struck to the surface of the matchbox, something momentary vision. It's called a spurti of Krishna has come to them. Even my, why do I say even? Also, my older brother, who is so different from me, has reported amazing and surprising realizations, which one feels shy to speak about as a devotee. So even if you say it's so difficult for me to change my habits, my entire my life, I feel a little stuck. If you sing the holy name with many, even on the online forum, there are very good kirtans available now, and you sit there and you sing, you will see that by Mahaprabhu's mercy, some divine experiences happen. And my dear devotees, just like a materialist needs material rewards to go on, the devotee feels he needs some type of spiritual experience, maybe of the love of Krishna, of the care of Krishna, of the care of devotees, and some little taste in the chanting. And therefore, I urge you to take the process of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to heart. That is his main gift to us, the holy name. He did not. This is it. It is there for every one of us to claim at any moment in our life to become serious chanters and feast on the gift of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
So, Maharaj, we're going a little bit over time, and I hope you don't mind, but I would like you to just, you use the term several times, unpack. Okay. And I would like you to just spend a few more minutes unpack this word absorption, saying to become absorbed in chanting. And this seems to be a very, very important word that you're using. So if you could just finish up by unpacking this word, how do we become absorbed in chanting?
I will ask a question which everyone can answer very easily. What is an obstacle to our absorption? And immediately the answer is distraction. We're very distracted in this age. It's very difficult for us to focus for quite some time on the holy name. There are three things. We are sometimes lazy. Then we are sitting down and we want to focus. But then all of a sudden our mind gets taken away. We call that inattention. And our attention becomes locked into other subjects. The shopping list. Ooh. Oh, all these emails. What do I answer to this complicated email? You know, our mind goes from the chanting to other subjects. And finally, if we are very, very honest with ourselves, we suffer from indifference. We said, I don't care any longer. I tried it so much. This is my status in this life. I stay here. So laziness, distraction, and indifference takes us away from absorption. Now, how do we counter this in a nice, doable way? And here comes a good answer. Laziness is something which happens in the body. It's tired. Oh, it's I'm really now chanting. Oh, I could maybe do a walk, but I can't chant. You know, I feel so lazy. To bring your body into shape, sit properly. Pronounce each mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, etc. Listen. Then a distraction What to do against distraction. This is something which happens on the mind level. If you want to chant with absorption, you have to bring now the mind into action. And it's very simple. There's a simple practice. Be present to what you do. Now you chant. Now it's Hari. It's only Hari. Then it's Krishna. It's only Krishna. Practice being present at the moment. How to do that? Krishna explains in the Gita that whenever you catch your mind going somewhere, just gently, gently. That's important. If you do it with too much, then the mind will resist such a treatment. But gently pull it back, bring it into the present. Krishna, Krishna, Hari, Hari. Oh, again, it went to my shopping list. Okay, please come back. It's now chanting time. And be present here. Indifference that is happening in the heart. That indifference you can cure only if you read a little bit more about Krishna. Read about, hear about Krishna, study the Bhagavatam, and then you know, my God, Krishna, oh, I'm sorry, I forgot you for so much time, even in the Hare Krishna movement, I forgot you. But how wonderful you are. Oh, yeah, and how interesting, actually. And when I read this, ooh, I feel just light in the heart. The heaviness goes away, and so on. So absorption is a combination of focusing the body, the mind, and the heart on the chanting. And for that, you have to overcome laziness, which is something which which keeps the body away from doing its work. Distraction, which keeps the mind away from doing its work. And indifference, which keeps the heart away from doing its good work. And then you are fully attentive and Krishna will reciprocate. He will see your endeavor. In the beginning, my dear devotees, it might be almost like a yogic practice, or you might think, wow, I have to start all over again. My habits are totally different than this, aligning body, mind, and heart. But after very brief time, Krishna will send reciprocation and you will feel enlivened to continue more.
Thank you so very much. It's been absolutely wonderful listening to you, and it's very much affected my heart. We, of course, are celebrating Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, and you've done an absolutely wonderful job bringing us closer to that great, great literature, and of course, the holy name, which, of course, you're famous for. Japa workshops. You gave us our little Japa workshop here, a mini Japa workshop. So thank you so much, Maharaj. We ask our audience to stay awake to all the different events that we have between now and Gaur Purnima. They can go on to our website, gbcspt.com. And of course, this time that we've spent with Sachinandan Maharaj is going to be there.